detail, I have to tell you, you know, how these torturous flames were just going to devour us and burn our human body, but we didn't die. And that would be me too, forever and ever. So guess what I did? I took out the proper fire insurance. I did go forward. I did ask Jesus to save me from my sin, and I vowed to never sin again. That lasted till about 2 hours later. Right? But you know, it seems like hell's a real hot topic even today, you know, because like 92% of everybody that goes to church believes in hell. There's about 60% of all Americans believe that there is a hell, right? And for years, I never questioned the reality of that, you know, until one time when I was in my late 20s, I started thinking, no, wait a minute. How could a God who's love subject somebody to a forever and a day of burning in hell for just some temporal sins that they made when they were living here on earth? And as you well know, I'm a firm believer in that we live our theology, right? And so I'm ever in this quest to say, well, how do these pieces fit together, right? Now, there's reasons, of course, that we don't want to let go of the traditional doctrine of hell, right? After all, if there's no hell, then why should I be good? Bother to be good? There's no reason to fear, right? If there's no judgment about it, I don't have to fear it. And besides, those people, you know them, that do these terrible, terrible things, you know, to others. I mean, we can't do away with hell because of them, right? So we can't let those big sinners, not the little sinners, the big sinners, just walk away and get away with it, right? Anybody ever think this way, right? But the problem is, it's easy to believe that if we, you know, that hell solves the problem of evil. But then I started reading scripture. I mean, granted, we have a sin problem, don't you know? People like to cheat. They like to gossip. None of us here. You know I'm not talking about you. People like to, you know, kill, steal, get angry, right? That's what we call evil. It's what other people do. We call evil, right? For Eastern religions, there's an answer for that. It's called karma, right? What goes around comes around. For us, it is hell. Hell is where the scales are balanced, right? The hell is where people get exactly what they deserve. And we deserve heaven. Right? We know that, right? God has rid the universe forever of evil, right? But then I got to thinking, how could evil be totally gone if hell still exists? Does that make sense? And plus the fact, for me, hell seems just to rule out hope, right? Loss of hope doesn't sound like the God that I know of second chances. That is a God of hope. That we can always have another chance, you know? And it doesn't match with me with the scriptures that says that Jesus desires that who is saved? Everyone is saved, right? And Jesus came to save who? Everyone, correct, right? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Revelations, if you read Revelations, then it tells us that, you know, that holiness and peace is going to reign when God comes back here on earth, right, uncontaminated by evil. That's what it says, right? No more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. How does that work with hell? Have you ever thought about this? You know, probably not, because my mind does work strange. I have to tell you that. If tears are supposed to be gone, then how could people weep and suffer for eternity, right? I'm not here to change your mind about hell today, right? Because it's in the scriptures. We can't do away with hell. What I want to do is give you maybe an alternative way of looking at it. So that's what we're going to do. And you can make your own decision, right? Fire's always been a significant aspect in God's kingdom. In fact, it was used for animal sacrifices. We know throughout the Old Testament, you know. And the purpose of those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, of course, was to atone for the people's sin. The animal would burn out. The people were not burned up, right? But it atoned for their sins, right? And then God used fire to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. God came down from Mount Sinai in fire. And where did Moses see the burning bush? Who was in the burning bush? God was in the fire of the burning bush, right? The Holy Spirit came to disciples as what? Tongues of fire. And our Hebrews passage today refers to God as what? An all-consuming fire. And that God desires we all come into a relationship with Him, right? And that the chaff in our lives be burned away. And that we become holy and pure before Him. Now, God's fire in our scriptures doesn't torture people, does it? It cleanses, it purifies, it frees the person from sin, from their hearts, and it burns up whatever's evil. It burns up what's wicked. It burns up what's sinful, right? So like the sacrificial lamb, God's fire burns up what isn't good. Our 1 Corinthians kind of gives us a little clue about this today. If you remember what it said, the work of each builder will become visible, for on the judgment day will disclose it. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer that loss. But the builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Did you catch that? That even in the final judgment, everyone will go through God's fire that's going to build up the impurities. Only pure works will survive. But does the builder burn up? No. The person survives. So, but only by what? Going through the fire. To stand in the flames of God's flames then would mean to burn away the impurities, to burn away the sins that we have done in our life. Let me kind of give you an example of what I can kind of imagine this as. Not the full example, that would take way too long. But let's just imagine that we have a dictator named David. Nobody's named David here, right? Are we good? Oh, there is a David here. All right, Dave, sorry about that, both of you. Anyway, David was the kind of dictator who didn't care about anybody else. He went out and he ravaged kingdoms. He set off nuclear bombs. I don't know what he did, right? He terrorized other nations. He caused hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of people to suffer and to die. You know, he only has disdain for the weak. He's the strong. We don't care about the weak. Get rid of them. They aren't worth having here. That's David for you. David dies. He comes into the presence of God for judgment. David is full of anger and hatred. That's all he's had his whole life. Anger, hatred, disdain for others, right? And he expects God to do what? Judge him harshly. Just like he's been judged, and to send him to eternal torture and punishment, right? So David walks into the throne room of God. And what do you suppose he is? Immediately engulfed in the flames, because God is a God of fire, correct? And his anger and his rebellion would immediately, at least they would me, I'd be melting into terror, knowing what I'm going to expect. That's what he's expected all his life, right? He realized that the fire is God. He expects God to say, "You evil murderer, you, go to eternal torture," right? But instead, he hears God say, "You know, I've always loved you. How could you do those kind of things to your brothers and sisters?" And feeling God's presence and feeling God's deep love, David falls on his knees with remorse. His life starts flashing before him, and he sees every one of his victims. They come and they're standing there with him, right? He sees moms crying for their dying children. He sees children left alone because their parents are dead and they're starving. He sees soldiers lying in a battlefield, dying, right? He hears their screams. He sees their bodies that are dying, right? And listens as they cry out for mercy from him, but he didn't give them mercy, did he? You know, and he knows he gave none to them. he sees that God's going to give him what he never gave to them. Love and mercy, right? And so as the fire continues to burn him, God sends in each one of his victims. Because most victims, what they want is some kind of vindication, right? They want somebody to say to them, I'm sorry for what you did. They want somebody to repent, don't they? And so each of the victims comes to him, and he feels their pain as he touches their heart. He knows the fear, he knows the grief of what he has caused. And all the while, the fire of God is burning, devouring the wickedness, devouring the evil deeds that he's done. This is hell for David. He's standing in the fire of God. He's got the gnashing teeth. He's got the uncontrollable weeping that we read about in the Bible. He cries out in utter remorse and repentance, knowing he can't undo what he did. He feels the full shame and guilt of what he did, right? He feels the unending pain of the victims that he gave to them. David didn't get away with his crimes. He suffers consequences by burning in God's fire of love. The closer he gets to God, all of a sudden the fire is not as strong, and then he stands directly in front of God, right? And then David hears Jesus say, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I forgive you. Will you enter my kingdom and be restored to God? What do you think David would do at that point? Don't you think David would accept that? I mean, he's been judged by the fire, right? He's walked through the fire of God's wrath, all the things in the Bible, purified by the fire of God's love and mercy, received forgiveness, received reconciliation, restoration with the victims that he did. He enters the kingdom of God. He's been tested by the fire and forgiven by God's grace. But David had a free will. David could have said no, right? So what would have happened to David if he would have said no in my particular way that we might look at hell? Well, when he's burning in the fire, if there's no good left, what happens to him? He's totally gone, right? Or it could be, as Revelation says, that he could be thrown into the lake of fire. Anybody wants to volunteer later, we'll see if we can get that to work. And if he's thrown in the lake of fire, what it says in there is that it annihilates all evil, right? The lake of fire means that the fire has totally consumed up anything that was left in, that's thrown into it. And that would agree with the idea of Scripture then that says that death and evil is gone. Does that make sense to you? That death and evil totally has gone away, as opposed to having a hell image where people are still dying and suffering in evil. So the difference between the view I've presented and the view that we have a traditional is the ending. Rather than God wreaking vengeance and retribution through eternal punishment, we're talking about it that God is bestowing reconciliation, not only to David, but with all his victims, and restoration through not wrath, but through loving forgiveness. So given that, I go back to my original question, though, is, then why would I want to be good? Why would you want to be good if you knew you weren't going to have to go through the hellfire? Well, the first thing is, you will go through God's glory, God's fire, because as it says in Scripture, that it will burn away the impurities, and guess what? I don't want to stand in that any longer than I have to. Doesn't sound comfortable to me. But the second thing is, I have learned in my life that by following God's law of love, that life is better. Has anybody else discovered that? That life is truly good when you don't have to suffer the consequences of where sin sometimes will take us, right? We are created to be good. We were created to be in God's image. And so we're more comfortable and we live a fuller life when we live there. That's the reasons to be good. Not because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us when we die, but because we love and we enjoy life that way. Because only a transformed world that we're a part of can get rid of evil, right? And stop that flow of evil and the cycle of violence and bring peace to earth. And is peace on earth, isn't that something that we all desire? You know? I personally want to be part of the greatest love story ever told, including the ending. Now, nobody really knows what ultimately awaits us. But it gives you an opportunity to think about what might God do in fire. As the worship team comes forward to complete our songs, let's take a moment just to go to God in silence and ask